Hi, friends. Welcome to Neighborhood Church Podcast. Please go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org to find all the ways you can stay connected during COVID-19, or if you'd like to give. Please join us Sunday mornings, 10 a.m., where we stream our services on our webpage, as well as Facebook Live on our Neighborhood Church page. And if you happen to miss it, you could still go back and watch the services. Have a good and beautiful day.
We both connected. Read the same thing. How do I make this natural?
Thanks for making it weird, Chris.
If you are newer to our community, we have on our website, they'll say connect form. Click that, fill it out, and then I will follow up with you, because hopping online, and there's people who are like, they'll never fill a connect form. I want to be like in the background, don't notice me. But if you'd like a phone call or a text or email from me, I can share a little bit about our story, maybe answer some of your questions. I've done that a couple times last couple weeks. I'd love to do that. So if you fill it out, you get a special little thing from this sweet face. So you're welcome in advance.
And it's not a kayak parade through.
And also, if you'd like to give financially, you can give online. You'll see a place at neighborhoodchurchmn.org. And you can, it'll say give, and you can text give, or you can give right there. And to all the people who are continuing to give, we appreciate your support. Thank you.
Also, if you want to stay connected and you're interested in seeing people in real time, we are continuing our gatherings after church. So after you've watched church on Sunday, you can drive into Cloquet and meet us down at the...
What do we call it? I always call it the Voyager Park.
It is. Voyager Park.
I don't think it is.
We looked at each other and we came together. 12 to 2 every Sunday until it gets snowy. I don't know. Right now it's every Sunday.
As of today, we're doing it every week until something changes. And of course, if it's raining, we'll post on our website and online that we'll be skipping. But today, I think it's supposed to be fine. So I'll be...
Dress cool. It's steamy out.
Yep.
And okay, wear your mask.
And wear your mask.
And keep that distance from each other so we can keep each other healthy and safe, but still stay connected.
And then two other ways you can get connected. We are in the fall, we are starting our tables. And tables is, we call small groups tables because we're really hip with it in WOW. So we have to change names because that's what hip people do. But starting in the fall, we're going to have our tables. And you'll see more information being rolled out. Angela Hamlin is our tables pastor. And so we have a couple.
That's a cool name.
What?
Tables pastor.
Table pastor or tables pastor?
Tables.
Apostrophe S for the grammar police out there. Yeah, Kevin Jacobson, I see you. So you'll see more, but there is more ways than just showing up on a Sunday and watching online. Some of the tables will be meeting in person, and a majority of them will be meeting online. But you're going to have different opportunities to get to know more people and get connected. And then lastly, shout out to our Rozo crew. They're on Lundquist deck right now.
Yeah.
And if you are interested in hosting your own watch party, of having maybe some family or friends come sit on your deck, we can give you some tips. And all you have to do is reach out to us or DM us, and we can share with you some tips of how you can do that as well. Okay, I think that's everything, right? It is. All right. We have Stephen H. Hamlin, who only knows how to dribble with his left hand and not his right. He's going to come and lead us in some worship.
He's not wrong about that.
That's for sure.
I've been saying that for 13 years.
It's actually a choice. I only choose to dribble with my left hand. Okay. Nikki, did you say these songs are posted?
Yes, they are.
Okay, on the website?
And
in the comments. Okay, great. So you see the link there. That'll show all the songs we're playing. Our first one we're playing here is One Thing Remains. Stronger than the power of in the trial and the change, this one thing remains. One thing remains, your love. And your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love is on and on. Thank you. kind of. invite Chris back up.
You're good. I'm just checking out my stuff.
All right. Well, hello, friends. I want to start by saying last week I was on vacation, and on my deck I hopped onto the service, and I am like experiencing a service is different when you're the one doing it all the time. And when I just got to show up and watch on my phone, it's the first time I've ever done it. Like, you guys have been doing this for a long time. I've been on this side of the screen. And so to watch it for the first time, I was surprised at how inspired I was by the music, by Nikki's message, but even the ability to like look around at the trees. I didn't have to look at the camera. I ended up having to drive to my parents' house with my dog climbing all over me at one point. And then I sat in my parents' driveway where I used to ride my bike and play and listen to the wrap up of Nikki's message. It was so inspiring. So I just want to thank all of you for hopping on every week and or every other week or every 3 weeks and participating. And I really do love this community. I believe in this community. I believe in what we're doing. And it can be awkward at times of being on camera or maybe watching on the phone, but God is still doing good and beautiful things. The Holy Spirit is still moving and inspiring us to be the fullness of who we are. So which leads us to today. We're wrapping up our series on wisdom. And wisdom is something, it's a lot more than just having a high intellectual degree from Carleton High School in 1999. Carleton days, you can still get it this weekend. Wisdom is something more than just being smart. There's a lot of smart people who do a ton of stupid things, right? I being one of them, clearly. But wisdom allows you to see something wider, to see something deeper, to experience something higher. And week one, we talked about how wisdom, the guy said he went to this field and the field preached him a message, and how we can learn from the things around us. We can let the world, we can let pain, we can let joy be our teacher. But it was all about how can we get clear of what is life giving to us? How can we get clear to where we want to end up? What is it that we're moving towards? Wisdom allows you to explore that, to see it. And then last week, or 2 weeks ago, we talked on how wisdom leads us. It's wise to check your receipts. What are you giving yourself to? Are you moving towards that clear picture? Are you being the fullness of who you are? Because it's easy to get caught up in a current that leads you to a place that you never intended on being, but yet you find yourself there, like being bitter or angry or unforgiveness, whatever it is that you feel like you're being bogged down. No one signs up for that. Which leads us today, which is all about grit. Because grit is incredibly important. What wisdom tells you, when you get an idea of where you go and you can evaluate where you're at, it's when you hit the hard points that you keep going. Yet she persisted. Because there is something in moving towards something you want, moving and getting clear and moving towards something that you want to see, be, believe, experience, evolve, and grow in, it costs you something. Because what's one thing that you've experienced that's been life-changing for you, that pain was not a part of it? We all have that story of where you either like learn from your pain or you die from your pain, and you get to choose between. So like in any circle you're in, if it could be a circle of friends, it could be your family system. If you want to have a not fun time, start studying family systems and then cry for a half hour. You know, family system, right? Except ours. Our family system is perfect, right? Oh, you're right here. I can just like pet you. There you go, Nikki. I'm going to do that for a half hour. Not weird at all. What'd you guys do for church? Oh, I just petted Nikki from afar. What am I talking about? Family systems.
Great.
Oh, circle. Whatever circle you find yourself in, it could be friends, your family, your work, or your church, your nonprofit, your sports team. There is a circle, and in that circle, there's a center of gravity that holds things together. It holds us together. And you might assume that what's holding you together is something really good, something really positive. But in that circle, there is questions you know just not to ask, right? No one tells you. You just realize no one talks about this. There's, it's like when you go to Thanksgiving and you have to remind your brother, right? I don't know whose brother I'm talking about. Maybe I have a brother. And you just say, hey, brother, remember, don't bring up politics to Scary Gary. Clearly, that's Uncle Gary, right? Because if you talk about politics, Scary Gary is going to start spitting mashed potatoes, and I want to eat mashed potatoes for the rest of my life, right? Don't ruin this for me. You just know, don't bring that up. Or there's invisible boundaries you know not to cross. And again, it's more caught than it is taught. But then all of a sudden, you see something, you experience something, you become woke to something, and you begin to, not even as a threat, but just because this, you think this is what our circle does, and you bring up that question. You cross that boundary unknowingly, and you begin to raise your hand and say, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we see this? Why don't we move towards this? Or you just start doing it, and it's not as a threat. Where you begin to, I was talking with one of my friends, they, a couple years ago, decided to stop drinking because that was their best decision to live their best life. And they told me, like, Chris, it's crazy how people reacted. They, like, blamed me for being a bummer on their party, on their experience, right? Because when you change, when you move, when you grow, people don't always like it. And again, that exposes what the center, because in that situation, that circle of friends, at the center was, we all have to be at the same place. We all have to do things. We all have to tolerate the same things. And that's what was celebrated. That's what made everyone else feel okay. And when one person says, hey guys, and what they said was like, I was still having fun at the parties. I didn't have to drink to have fun. But it disrupted something where they were all of a sudden like kind of moved slowly out. And when you do that, it shows what's at the center. You're going to find out that sometimes it's not what you signed up for. It's not what you want. And either you get slowly let out the door or you move out of it. You begin to move out of it. And when you do that and you get clear, like, I know I have to be this. I know I have to do this. I know I need to grow, because we're not talking about, should I wear my blue shorts, my pink shorts, right? What should I wear at the parade today? Like, should I wear, you know, like, we're talking about when you hear from God, when you feel inspired by the divine to move somewhere. What wisdom says, right? Get clear of what you want. But then wisdom says, now move towards it. Because you can't unsee what you have seen. And when you know that you know, and you begin to even take a couple steps towards that, and you see good fruit, and you start moving it, it's not always celebrated. And it's hard. It's hard to lose language. There's something really beautiful about having common language. And in a circle of friends or in a church or at work, you can have a way of talking, you have a way of seeing, a way of being. And when all of a sudden it's changed and people leave you out, people allow you to walk out, and you don't hear from them, it sucks. It's hard. But to grow, what wisdom says, to grow means you have to keep going. Don't stop. Which leads us to a celebration, a milestone, and grit. We are 1 year old as Neighborhood Church. Officially, as of yesterday, we are 1 year old. Yeah. Yeah, all right. Steve is excited, and Lori, give a quiet, ow, ow. I want to appear excited. We are 1 year old, and there's a lot of reasons I'm excited. I'm going to share throughout this message. I'm excited because we get to move on. We decided for, whew. Catch myself. All right. We decided for 1 year that we are going to continue to tell the story of where we came from. Because for 1 year, we knew that there would be people who are leaving and people who come in, that it is important that when you come into a community of what we went through, transitioning into Neighborhood transitioning to Neighborhood Church, it was important that you knew our story. And we said for 1 year, now 1 year, in all our classes, like our beginnings class, on our website, it talked about it. We had videos up about it. And as of today, we are going to be changing all of those, because now that we've made it, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but to transition from into being an inclusive community by belonging to a movement that was exclusive on LGBTQ, the percent chances of us making a year are very low. And we've done it. And we are thriving and we are flourishing and there's good and beautiful things happening. Woo! But as of today, we no longer need to talk about who we once were. As of today, we're talking about who we are and where we're going. Mm-hmm. But it took a year to do that. And I want to share a little bit about the past year. And I'm so thankful this will be the last time on camera or on stage, whatever we call it, that I'll be sharing this story. And I'm not sharing this to get like, oh, Chris. Like, the reason I read the Facebook post of us announcing this, and there was like 76 comments, and I read through them. And where I'm at today, I was able to like laugh at some of them and be like, man, people got really hung up on this. And the things that they said, like one person accused me of doing it for the money. Yeah, pastors are in it for the money, let me tell you. Yeah, us and kindergarten teachers, we're in it for the money, right? I can't get on it. But the reason I didn't share it is that I don't want people to like respond to that energy anymore. We don't need to live in that place anymore. Like, we're moving on. But let me share, I'm going to share the story briefly because it fits in, I think, from where a lot of you might be at. A year ago, actually about 13 months ago, one thing that we value, Nikki and I, is being honest, being clear, being truthful, and with purpose. And we met with some people in the movement. We were theologically inclusive of the LGBT community, but we were in a movement that said we can't marry same-sex couples or non-binary couples, and we can't hire anyone. And if you did, then you would get kicked out, excommunicated, whatever weird word religious movements say. And so we thought, hey, since we're talking about this, if people ask us what we believe, we'd say we're an inclusive church. And inclusive to us was, one part was the LGBT community, but it was bigger than that. We had people in our community, in our leadership, that believed differently theologically than us on that. And that's the kind of community we wanted, that we can disagree on different things. We can see the Bible or see the divine in different ways, as we always do, but we can show up in love, right? So we thought, well, we should get clear with the movement. We met with the movement, and at the end of that meeting, we decided to go to our board and go to our staff and say, I think we should transition into neighborhood church. And we decided that Nikki and I, before those meetings, if anyone on our staff or anyone on our board dissented from that, that we would resign and that they could stay a part of the movement. And we had a unanimous vote on both. We met with our church in a series of meetings. It was incredibly hard, it was incredibly good. And we, as of yesterday, transitioned into neighborhood church. And I can tell you that as amazing as it was to get up on stage and have people cheer and shout, I was completely numb. The things that Nikki and I had to hear, the things that we had to respond to in emails and on social media, the family that we lost, the friends that we lost, like, some people left very angry and did and said some horrible things. There was a lot of people who left very kindly, and I missed those people. I really do. I missed, they helped us launch this church 5 years ago, and I do miss them. We lost mentors. We lost credibility. I have a friend named Sarah who went to Love Creamery and walked in. This is in Duluth. Walked in, and there was a circle of ladies, and they say, yeah, did you hear about that, Chris? She's like, didn't even go to our church, right? There was a group of people that would hear my name, Chris, and they're like, spit on the ground, whatever you say in French that you can say on camera, right? And that took its toll on me. And for about 9 months, I was very, very numb. And I was able to love my family, was able to love my wife, and was able to do my job. But pretty much outside of that, I was it was numb. But I knew, Nikki and I knew that we knew that we knew this is who God invited us to be, that we couldn't unsee what we've seen. And there was no way we're going back. But I can tell you, when you get clear and you move towards it, and you have to make that decision to stop using that substance, you have to make the decision to go get counseling, you have to make the decision to talk to your partner about what kind of marriage you really want, you make that decision to go get your master's degree, whatever it might be, and you move towards it, it costs you something. And Nikki and I, we were ready for that. I don't know if we were ready for it.
As well as we could,
right? And I'm an eternal optimist. I'm like, hey, it's going to be fine. And Nikki's like, I don't think it's going to be as fine. She's like, come on, honey. We've been saying this for years. It wasn't as fine as I thought. The hardest part of when Nikki and luckily we never got there at the same time. And the beautiful thing I really do love about my wife and I is we can like have this peak of like anger or anxiety or whatever, and we rarely get it together because we both come at the same point. We are going to make not wise decisions, right? Like, yeah, we should totally like shave our hair at the same time. That's a great idea. The thing that really question, because when you're in that pain, you want you and you lose that whatever that you held on to before. You do look back and think maybe I should go back, and it's when we realize what it cost our kids.
Yeah.
That's, as a parent, you want to do whatever you can to protect your kids from any pain. And kids are smart. Kids can hear through walls. Kids can hear the conversations you're having with your friends. Kids can hear you cry. They heard things from their friends. They heard things from family, people that they loved who said things to them. And that was hard. And that's when I thought maybe we screw this up royal. Maybe we should go back. But even for you, as you think about going back to that relationship, back to that friendship, back to that job, back to that way of believing, what are you going back to? Right? Because once you've tasted, seen the goodness of God, right, as it says in Psalms, Would you rather go back just to have common language, just to be able to tolerate, just to be, whatever the idea of being comfortable is, just to avoid that pain? Is that what you want to go back to? Is the pain you're experiencing holding on to, is that harder to move towards the freedom and the love and the open-mindedness that you have now experienced? There's times where it's like, yeah, I'll give that up to go back. But what wisdom says is keep going. Because yeah, you're going to feel alone. Yeah, you're going to feel numb. Yes, you're going to feel pain. But when have you not? When have you experienced? Like, if you go to therapy, because every time you hear that person's name, it triggers it up. Every time you think about that teacher, you think about that coach, you think about that word, and it just robs you. You have to go through that trauma. You have to confront it. You have to be able to see it for what it is, to take the power away from that, and that will cost you something. It absolutely will cost you something. But the freedom on the back end, I can tell you, it is so much better than you could ever hope. We're going to talk about that in a second. And we see this all throughout the Bible. This is why I can say this is a holy thing, right? It's because when you think about Job had to keep going, yet she persisted, right? Job had to keep going when all his friends say, blame God, give up. He goes, no, I will not. I know I did nothing wrong because I have a good God. You think about the story of Noah, it's nuts, right? There's just this guy making a boat out of nowhere and people walk by mocking him, right? Oh, you're building a big, important boat. We're all happy for you, Noah. That's not really in the Bible, but I imagine that's what it is, right? Yet she persisted. Yet Noah kept going on. Why? Because wisdom says, I can't unsee what I've seen. Right? Think about Jesus. Jesus in the garden is praying till he's bleeding and he begs, he prays to God saying, if there's any way to get out of this, but not your will be done. And Jesus steps into the pain. He steps into the mockery. He steps into the abandonment. He steps into the beating and he steps into death willingly. Why? Because that is what holy people do. You don't go back. You don't go back. And we see this in Moses. This is Deuteronomy 31. And I'll just read it. Verse 7. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all of Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord itself goes before you and will be with you. It will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. So what Moses does is he leads the people of Israel for years or decades, and he hears God. He knows that God says, you don't get to go into the promised land. You get to go right up to the Jordan River, and you're done. And Moses could have heard that and been like, then I'm out of here, man. I'm going to do all this work, people complaining about me, people begging us to go back to when it was good, when we were enslaved, at least we had a good meal. So I'm going to do all this, but then I'm going to get right up to the point of seeing the promised land and entering into that flourishing, into the freedom, and saying, I can't. Yet she persisted. And why? Because that's what holy people do. even if we don't understand, we keep going. And he's telling Joshua, he's saying, hey, there's going to be some horrible things that happen, and you're going to feel utterly alone. But you know, as I know, that God told us to go do this, to be this, to experience this. And we say yes. And you need to know that wherever you're going, the divine is already there. It's going to feel lonely, but realize that already inside, you are good and you belong, because the divine is in everything. And there's wisdom in knowing when I experience the pain, when I experience the loneliness, to remind yourself, no, I'm good. Because everywhere I go, it's God's house. And it brings up this thing. Proverbs 1:7 says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. And this is how Proverbs begins. And the book of wisdom is how it ends, is on this whole idea of fear of the Lord. And fear of the Lord, when a lot of people hear it, they think of being afraid of the angry God. Like being afraid, maybe you've heard a story about this, or maybe sadly you lived this story. It's like God is the drunk dad coming home, and you know, either hide, or when he says make him that drink, you make the drink as fast as humanly possible and you get out of the way. Because if you spill it, if you ask him why, or you just look at him funny, then you have to suffer all the consequences. That's how a lot of people view God. Hence why we try saying good and beautiful God as many times as humanly possible, to change that narrative. Because the fear of God is not a literal fear. Because think, when Jesus says, I've come to bring life and life to the fullest, right? How do you get life to the fullest? By like hunkering down in fear and tolerating life? No. Fear of the Lord means this. It means doing anything, tolerating anything that hinders you from living your full life. Because once you get clear, the wisdom says, move tenaciously towards that. And sadly, I've known from pastoring, I've met with a ton of couples. And when one partner goes to their other partner and says, what we're doing is we're just glorified roommates. What we are doing is not working. It is not our full lives. What would it look like if we would have got help? What if it looked like we did our own work and then came together to invest in this relationship, to move forward, to be our best selves? And the other partner looks at him and says, don't rock the boat. Put your head down, parent. Let's just tolerate each other, because I know what to expect. It's good enough for me. Why would you want something else? Why would you want to change the circumstances? And sadly, what has led from this is there's people where, not, this is not sad, positively, I've seen a lot of couples who struggle through it and say, yes, I'm willing to get help. I'm willing to meet with that professional. I'm willing to own my stuff. And they get to the fullness of themselves in the relationship. Sadly, there's other people where the other partner says, nope, sit down, be quiet, and they do that. They get a whiff. They get an idea of what this garden could flourish, of what it could bring, of what it could add. And one person says, I'm not doing that. So they sit down and they be quiet. Then there's other couples of where the person says, sit down, be quiet, and they said, yet she persisted. And they went to live the fullness of their life. And said, if you're not joining me, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to be your servant. I'm not going to play this game anymore. And what does it cost you? Everything. But I can tell you, of walking through all the stuff that we've walked through, I can tell you on the back end, the only way I can describe it is like walking through a forest where you don't know what's up and what's down, and you hear all these weird things, but you keep going, and what you hit is this wide open field of sunlight, and there's nothing but room to run. There's nothing but room to run to be the fullness of who you are, and it is amazing. And I witnessed that, of watching Sarah Olson, who is now our worship pastor. They got up and told their story. And I was watching right where Nikki was, right about 12 feet away. And the message was good. It was great. It was incredibly inspiring. But just watching them be the full self, and you knew this is what they were created to do, to inspire people to have pride of who they are, regardless of who they are, but live your full self. I saw it. I'm like, I would do it all over again. I wish I could avoid the pain of my kids, but I hope that as a family, we've learned that we can do hard things, and not just in theory, not just some cute little hashtag, but in our bones is saying, this is what people of love do. We show up and we persist. We have grit and we move forward to what we know to be true. So here's three tips. And this is for people who you were on the back end of it. Like I feel
not on everything, but with this, I feel I've never loved myself more. I've never loved our community more. I've never loved God more. Or maybe you're in the middle of that forest, or you've gotten clear and you know you're about to leave that circle or that way of being and you're stepping into the forest. Here's three tips. First one is this. Notice other people on their journey. This is incredibly important. Notice others and share your wisdom. And when I say share your wisdom, it doesn't mean give them the 4-point plan of how to get through the forest, because this is how it worked for you. It's very important that you let people be on their journey, because that pain, whatever lessons they're going to learn, that is for them to experience. And if they choose to walk through it, that has to be them. But what you can do is offer wisdom. And what wisdom is this? Wisdom is Boyd and Margo Dallas looking at Nikki and I saying, whatever you're experiencing, there's going to be more pain that's going to be even harder than it is right now. Learn from it. That was wisdom on their journey. It was Ken Wilson and Ryan Bowers telling me, Chris, you are about to get kicked in the teeth and you're going to have your heart ripped out and people you love are going to walk away from you because they've done the same thing. But I can tell you, if you can hold on, if you can make it, you will never be more happy to be alive and who you are. And I had to just keep reminding myself. They would call and text me over and over again saying, Chris, you got this. Trust on the back end is the field. Get ready to run. I wouldn't be where I'm at. Wade and Lori, who are here, when I go to their house, I don't sit on the furniture. I sit on the floor because they make me. I'm joking. I would sit on the floor in front of their fireplace and their dogs would run over to me with their gross chewy toys. And they never tried fixing me. They let me cry, they let me laugh, and they would laugh and cry with me. If I didn't have the support of my wife, I didn't have the support of my kids and my family, and they never fixed, they never said, here's what you gotta do. They would say essentially like, I see you and I love you. And that is one of the most holy things you can do. But be aware of people, whatever the journey is. When you see someone share something on social media, you see someone in a conversation, you see someone walking by and you just know, be in that space with them. It is a holy thing. Second one is this. When you begin to step out of a circle, right? I love this. And you even for a moment, you see that there's a different way of being or seeing. You're like, this is amazing. And you try going back to people in different circles and say, you have no idea how good it is. You have no idea how free it is. And so then you send them that book like 7 times, and then you text them that podcast 35 times, right? And then you show up outside of their house with the radio, like on Say Anything. You can't force people to budge. You can't force people to grow. And you want to because you deeply love them, but you have to let people on their journey. And the last one is this, is you gotta remember where the ladder is. Labor Day, I have a friend. One of the few friends I still talk to from high school. And she told me that she was getting married. And I'm like, wait a second. That was never part of your deal, right? Like one thing that we talked about and part of the people that her partners was marriage was just not something that was in the bag. And then when she texted me that she's marrying this guy, I'm like, what's going on? And she said, I knew that this was the love of my life. And we made the transition, and it was on Labor Day. So it was only about like 6 weeks after we made the transition. And I got invited, of course. And she decided to get married in Carlton, my favorite place on earth. And I happened to be in Carlton that same day. And it was 5 minutes away. And my brain said, hey, you should really go. And even if you go for 20 minutes, because I was completely numb at the time. And my brain's like, hey, you should go and give her a hug and meet her partner. And my body said, no, not today. Of the anxiety just crippled me. Of what if I see someone? What if I have to ask someone? What if I begin to lose it and I start to cry? It's like, just comfort, stay in this space. And sadly, I did not go. And about a month ago, they were in town. They're quarantining in Carlton. And Nikki and I, we went to their house. And I knew on the way over there that I needed to apologize. I don't need to apologize for my anxiety. I don't need to apologize. I can't shame myself of, I should have been better. It just, but I can still speak to the pain that it brought, because what friends do is they show up, right? And I noticed that. So everyone was there and I apologized. It went really well. And it felt like just something in me just dissipated. It's like, oh, okay, We're going for this walk in this field. And her dad is an amazing man. But he says some eccentric stuff, man. He says some out of this world stuff. I mean, we're walking and he goes, "Hey, Chris, where'd you put the ladder?" I'm like, "Dude, we're in a field right now. I have no idea what you're, I didn't steal your ladder." And he goes, "No, when you went into the pit of your anxiety, when you went into that hole of depression, where was that ladder that helped you get out?" And that was an incredibly life-giving question to me, to think through what helped me climb out of that hole. Then he said, "Okay, Chris, remember where you put that ladder, because you're going to be in that hole again at some point. It's going to happen. And if you know where that ladder is, then you know how to get back out." And I love it because, A, he didn't say that if you go in the pit that you are less of a human being. He didn't say, "Oh, you're some weaker person because you have depression or because you have anxiety, and you're better if you get out." No, no, he said it's going to happen. He normalized it and says, "This is what happens." But then also, if you know what is life giving to you, do it on purpose. If it's counseling, if it's sitting on the floor with gross dog toys, right? If it's I'm going out for dinner with friends, if it's meeting with your general practitioner, whatever it is, be aware. And then share that with the people around you. Be a resource to the people around you. Talk about it. So, to my friends who are in the forest or on the journey, I see you. And to our church and to our community, thank you for making this place truly good and beautiful. And to all the people who get to now have a place to belong and to be included, regardless of how you identify, of how you love, how you vote, whatever, there's a place where you belong. And that's Neighborhood Church. So I'm going to pray. And if you are in that place of pain, you're in that place of confusion, or honestly, you're in that place of regret, and you're beginning to look over your shoulder saying, "Maybe I should go back." As I pray for this, just join me and receive it. So God, we love you. And I thank you that you set the pace of what grit looks like. The idea of "yet she persisted" can be a holy thing. And I pray that you will inspire us, remind us again of why we stepped into that forest. Maybe we did it on our own. We said, "No, I have to head into that forest this time." Or maybe someone else nudged us or forced us, and that led us to this wild journey. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and you'd bring hope. Bring sasu, you'd bring a strength, a grit, something that goes to the core of who we are. And at that core, it's not darkness, it's not sin, it is good. And that we'd be in touch with the goodness of us, the goodness of our bodies, the goodness of this God, the goodness even of this pain. It can be our teacher. And that we can move. And that the fear of the Lord, of anything less than being our full self, that we can hold on to that and saying, "This is worth it." And as Moses said to Joshua, "You will never be alone." That God is God ahead of you. That we can get a whiff, we can get a view of that field. And I pray, God, that we, once we hit that field, we'll not just stay on the edge of that forest, that we'll embrace the fullness of ourselves and we will sprint. And we will laugh, and we'll feel the warmth of the sunshine. Because it makes all the rest of it worth it when we look behind and say, "Yes, you were my teacher, and now I'm in the house of the loving God." And we say yes to that. Help us notice others who are on this journey as well. Help us be able to see and notice and share wisdom and share love. I love you. Thank you for being so good. Amen. All right, friends. That was good. I really love this church. So Steve's going to wrap us up with some music. Thank you again, and happy birthday to the Neighborhood Church.